Hello, and welcome to our regular HR and Flow podcast. With the budget fresh on our minds and the government focus on productivity this week, we are looking at productivity in the workplace and the role reducing stress can play in improving personal and corporate productivity. Neville, HR and Flow are passionate about reducing stress and energising people in the workplace. But what things are causing stress and how does that really impact productivity?
Well, there is a correlation between stress and productivity. Essentially, productivity is a great deal more than processes. It's a great deal more than getting leaner and increasing the opportunities for people to work more efficiently. People themselves hugely influence the level of productivity that they bring to work each day. That is impacted on by a myriad of imposing factors. So before you even get to work, you can be stressed out. You can be stressed by people cutting you up in the car. You can be stressed by people overtaking, breaking speed limits. You can be stressed by train delays, by all sorts of community issues on the day, new roadworks, unexpected delays and so forth. So you can arrive at work in a state of less than optimal mindset in order to deliver your optimal performance. Because what we're talking about in terms of productivity is enabling people to deliver their optimum performance as often as possible.
Thank you, Neville. That's very interesting. But what can cause stress in the workplace and therefore reduce the potential for high productivity?
Yeah, it continues. Stress is such an expensive factor when it comes to organisational performance. At work itself, AXA published a report last week highlighting the extent that stress impacts performance and productivity in the workplace. They highlighted as the number one factor the always-on environment. Right? The need to be available all the time, the need to be in work early, leaving late, the need to be available. They highlighted a high percentage of people who take calls on work, out of work, who look at their emails late into the night. The always on can be controlled, but it can also be overpressured. And when it becomes overpressured, then it becomes stress. So there is a difference between pressure and stress, but it can't be an excuse for causing stress. Equally, other things, we also did a report and we came up with a number of factors similar to theirs. Poor communication, high numbers of reorganizations, inconsiderate scheduling of meetings, the culture clash. What I mean by that is the rhetoric of the organisation and the reality of the way managers manage are detached. And that's not a good thing. One of the highest levels of building stress, little things impact a lot. So technology issues, Wi-Fi going down, availability stuff not working, people tapping things and simple, you know, the sort of innate arrogance of others to others. Sometimes this can start and over time it becomes a stress. Constant change or unclear and changing goals. All of these things can generate in the workplace unnecessary stress because all of those things can be managed.
Thank you very much, Neville. That's very interesting. So what sort of things should we be looking at and finding out more about to widen our approach to improving productivity beyond processes and systems?
Thanks, Ray. Yeah. Do you know, I have a big desire that we measure the right things, we understand the right things before we start taking actions that may or may not improve productivity. There are some simple people-related things that will have huge impact on productivity. Levels of fitness and well-being. Now, a number of organizations are already doing good things on this, but there's so much more that can be done. Think about the levels, not just of well-being, yoga, body, but also brain. levels of brain fitness, a Neuralink kind of products that can help us understand where we are and how things can be improved. What are the levels of engagement in the organization and commitment to purpose? Dan Pink talks about people are motivated by autonomy, mastery, and purpose. Okay, how do we achieve those things? Well, we have to understand, first of all, where we are now, truly, in terms of levels of engagement against the organization's intent and its intended culture. So you have to be uniquely looking at your own measures in your own way. Levels of motivation themselves, huge. What are the levels of resilience in the organization? How complex is it and how do people deal with complexity? What is the clarity in the organization of its purpose and its intent? What is the clarity in terms of expectations in performance of individuals and teams? So often, we talked earlier, stress is caused by unclear and changing goals. Unless that is the way you work, you may say, well, we have this long-term intent to get there. We have a number of steps and this week's goals are. And we set our instant objectives and we measure to that and we don't need to have constant appraisals. Or we do. It just depends. But to lift the productivity, you have to align your approach with the organizational purpose and intent. Also, the development of skills and capability beyond ticking boxes. Getting really high quality thought through mix learning programs, impact learning programs and opportunities to learn, opportunities to pull on learning, getting individuals to really take responsibility for their own learning and performance. The chances of really getting inside process efficiency and understanding your role within it so that it becomes effective as well, because that then starts to generate positive energy. What is the support framework for people in the organization? And to what extent is the organization suffering from either a fear of failure or benefiting from a desire to succeed and taking risks to and enabling people to have autonomy and take opportunities to do things? All of these things can help A, reduce levels of stress, and then innately increase levels of productivity. There is so much, there are so many people factors involved in the improving of productivity in an organization. And it's time really now that we took responsibility in the people support functions for bringing expertise in and ensuring that everybody is conscious of how big a performance lever it can be. Not just meeting the government's wishes, driving real business benefit. So, beyond anything else, I think we need to look after ourselves, look after our colleagues, and look after the people in the company.
Thank you very much, Neville. That's a really interesting insight into how looking after the individual can make a significant difference to individuals, companies, and the UK's overall productivity. If you would like to know more about our services and would like to stay in touch with the latest developments, then you can by signing up to our newsletter. Go to our website at www.hrinflow.com and sign up via our news tab. Alternatively, you can meet us face-to-face in London on the 30th of November at an Insight Forum. If you would like to know more, contact us on 01280 823 702 or email us at info@hrinflow.com. Thank you very much for listening.